Well, I guess better late than never, maybe. It's the news, according to me. Well, good morning. It's still morning. It may not be morning. Actually, it is not morning anymore. It is just afternoon. It is where I am. I'm at. It's still morning. It's 11:07 a.m. Central Standard Time. I am in the Central Standard Time Zone. I am not in Syracuse, New York, as earlier thought I would be. That all changed. I am actually on my boat this morning, this afternoon. It is 12:07, by the way, Eastern Time. And I was on the boat last night. I ended up having to do some different directional things yesterday. Ended up going to Newark, New Jersey, and on the way back, then I decided it was. They changed my plans. I didn't make any decisions. They actually changed my plans, and I'm now in. I ended up in Chicago last night, and I am now. Here I am. I am in on the boat. I got to the boat about midnight last night, so it was kind of late. However, a short night on the boat is better than a long day in a hotel. That's for sure. So I am here till later this afternoon. I'll be heading out of here in a few hours. I've got a few projects to work on. However, I did manage to get breakfast and my favorite tea. So what is in my cup? Which is kind of interesting. I put my peaches from the original peach gallon peach jug into my tea from Chick-fil-A. Can't say it's the best thing I ever drank. I think the tea itself was starting to get a little funky, so now it's not quite as good. Now the tea I had this morning from Chick-fil-A was perfect, and because I had that bad breakfast, I drove over there, got breakfast real quick. Didn't exactly get up super early, and when I did get up, I kind of milled around, messed around, walked by the beach. I walked out to the beach, looked at it, and turned around and came back. I was so hungry, and I just kind of. It's one of those moods where I just didn't know what to do first. And I just kind of was stammering around, wondering what, like an old man. Well, I guess I am an old man. I wasn't stammering around like an old man. I was an old man stammering around, I guess is what I was. Not knowing what to do next. A couple projects I got to get worked on here. One of them's kind of messy, and I don't really want to get into it, but I need to get into it. It has to do with the fuel system on the boat. I got to change out the actual, not just the fuel filter, but the whole filter. The whole assembly needs to be changed, not just the filter itself. I changed the filter, and there's a problem with the assembly itself, and I'm just going to change that whole thing out. It shouldn't take me very long. It's just kind of a messy job because there's fuel involved, and you're on a boat. The good news is I actually was able to get air conditioning on my boat now. I've got an air conditioner blasting. I started a little bit late with it. I should have had it hooked up earlier in the day. By the time I got the boat all closed up with the air conditioner running, it's still a little bit warm in here. But it's starting to catch up now. It's starting to get a little bit better. I've got a fan blowing on me, and things are not too bad. It's actually cool enough right now. In fact, I could run my little other fan. I could just have it blowing on me. It probably would have me nice and cooled down here. But I was outside working a little bit, and it got me hot. Sun's getting pretty warm. It would help a lot if I was able to, if I had shades on the windows. I don't have any window shades on this boat yet. A lot of sun coming in, heating things up. If I had that going on, in fact, what I might do is get myself some of that material, that reflective material, and just put that on the windows on the inside and just have it, just keep the sun from beating down inside this thing. It would stay nice and cold in here. It is, over by the air conditioner, it's nice and cool, but of course it's a little bit noisy over there, so I didn't want to be right there beside that thing. I do have the ice maker working behind me, and in fact, the ice maker is a big part of my cup of chai here this morning. I made my regular cup of chai, my Pacific Island chai, with regular vanilla creamer, and all I have with me today on the boat. And I have, I made an iced chai. So I have an iced chai here, which is, can you hear that? It's good stuff. Especially when it's a hot day, it's good to have something iced to drink. And I've got a backup cup here with, actually a backup thermos with ice in it, which is just drinking water. So I just have water in there. I think I'm going to take a sip of this as well, just to kind of hydrate myself. Ah, yeah, it's good stuff. So, now, it's good water. Everything's good. Everything's good. It's all good. It's good. It's all good. except for this crazy world we're living in right now. It's kind of, that's kind of crazy. But other than that, everything's good. We have, I don't have a whole lot of things to specifically talk about today. Other than the left, I want to get back to this because it would seem that the left seems to have their act together. They're doing things. They just continue to flail. I don't know any other way to describe what they're doing with regard to how they are acting concerning Donald Trump. Now, there are some things that Trump has done recently, especially, that are kind of aggravating. And I think that JP Reacts, I think is the guy's name. JP, I can't remember what his name is actually, but he's a redheaded guy. He was a comedian for a long time, and he was very liberal and has flipped around completely to the conservative side of things. And I believe he's become a Christian. I believe he's maybe he was a Christian before, but he takes his faith seriously now. But he's very interesting to listen to because he actually has a very solid understanding of conservatism and government and how, you know, responsibility of government. He's been very, but he's also very funny. During COVID, he had this little act he did, which was brilliant. A lot of times he'll play himself, or he'll play two different characters, and he'll dress, you know, it's not a split screen, but he'll have, you know, he'll be talking and asking a question, and then he'll cut to another scene of this other person, and of course they're all, it's still him, but he's portraying what the liberal would say, or what the liberal is doing, and what they're saying, but he had a brilliant take on the whole mask issue during COVID. What was funny about it was he was talking about how if a person is wearing a mask and the other person isn't wearing a mask, but he was talking about, and the way he got around the algorithms for YouTube was he was talking about a life jacket. So this person had a life jacket on, and they were yelling at the other person for not wearing a life jacket. And the person said, but you're wearing a life jacket. Shouldn't you be protected? And he said, and then of course the other person was, no, my life jacket won't work unless you have a life jacket on too. And the whole thing, that's just one, the main part of it. He went on and on about all kinds of other statements as well. Now, of course, the vaccine was the same thing. It was, for some reason, the unvaccinated were causing problems for all the people who were vaccinated. This was a threat to the people who were vaccinated. If you're vaccinated, what do you care? Just other than just your family members, but get your family vaccinated. Who cares? You know, the problem was the vaccine wasn't working. It wasn't stopping the spread. It was I would call it more of a 50% prophylactic. It was a barrier. It was a therapy drug. It reduced the odds of you dying probably from COVID. Now there were other issues that I think it increased your risk of other things that we weren't told about. Of course, they didn't want to talk about those things, even if it was just minuscule. They didn't want to talk about them because they knew that there was enough anti-vaccination people out there that they would just throw up, you know, a total tizzy about it, and it would scare people off from getting their vaccines, so they didn't want to even talk about it at all. However, that whole process, that now they've been left with less trust because we don't trust what they, because they didn't really do the research, and when they did the research, they didn't really give us the right answers. They didn't give us all the data that they, you know, that they knew of some of the things that were wrong with this vaccine, if you want to call it that. And of course they had to change the definition of vaccine, which should tell you something. If they're giving you a vaccine, they have to, well, this is a vaccine, but it's not like the vaccines from the past. So we have to change the definition of a vaccine. That's the kind of thing that should give you kind of some kind of a clue that, hey, these people are not on the up and up, you know. You take the vaccine, fine, or whatever, if you don't, but give us the right information up front. Just don't be, you know, it's just very aggravating, very, very aggravating. It looks as if my, I have this protective cover thing on my iPhone, and it is time for it to be removed. It is starting to peel loose. It will not go back down. And now when I press on certain parts of my screen, it doesn't do anything. So I just took it off. And now, of course, everything's going to work fine. But I have also have the addition of possibly scratching or cracking my screen now because of the fact that I don't have a protector on it. Why don't they just come with the protection thing on there? That's good. That's good. Good. Good ice chai there. We have it's been very good to hear somebody like JP do his thing, and he was talking about the recently had a thing where he's talking about the Epstein files. Now what is confusing about this is that Pam Bundy was asked point blank, and this, I'm losing confidence in Pam Bundy. Frankly and personally, I think she should be replaced. I just don't think she is the person for the job right now. How she got the job, I don't know. What would her, you know, what, who was in line for it? How many people are on the list? But frankly, I do not think she's doing the job. I think she's a fine person. I'm sure she's, you know, not a, I don't think she's a crook. But I think she is being, I don't think she has the guts or the fortitude to really do the job there. I think that she's being manipulated by somebody. When she gets asked point blank, you know, what about the Epstein files? And the reason reporters are asking is because people care. And it does matter. And the fact that the Donald Trump kind of chastised a reporter for asking the question, is a little bit aggravating for me. That's not winning me over at all in that particular subject matter. I don't like it. And I think he's going to hear about it. I don't think he cares, but I think he's going to hear about it from a lot of people who are kind of upset about this, because this was something we were promised. We've been promised by everybody in the administration. Day one, we're going to hear about it. Oh, within the next 10 days, you're going to hear about the Epstein files. It's going to come loose. This is all going to happen. And then the only thing we hear is, there's no list, Epstein killed himself. That's all we hear. And I'm sorry, that does not give us the answers to the, maybe there's no list anymore. Maybe there was never a list, but it was well known who his clients were. And I think that that's what we need to understand. Now, the other side of this whole thing is that it's very possible, and I don't doubt this at all, that Epstein was being used as a counterintelligence collection guy who was possibly working for other governments. Maybe he was a double or triple agent working for our government, working for other people's. Maybe that's how he was making his money. Don't tell me he was day trading and he made all his money this way. He made millions of dollars. You know, it's possible. That is possible to do. But however, that's not what he was doing, I don't think. That's not why he was flying people around to his island back. That's not what was going on there. And if it were that the only thing that was happening, then why was he in prison and why is Ghislaine Maxwell in prison? By the way, it's not Ghislaine. I've heard her name pronounced so many different ways. It's just Ghislaine, Ghislaine, it's Ghislaine. That's how she says her name, Ghislaine. Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, well, that's good. However, you know, saying all this, Roseanne Barr, who is a fan of Donald Trump's, happened to make a comment. She was saying, yes, it does matter. Read the room. Now, it's just, Trump knows better than this, in my opinion. There's something he's trying to skirt the nation away from us. From this, you know, all of us away from this idea of it shouldn't matter, it doesn't matter, let's move on. There's all these other great things that are happening. There's all these other things that are happening we need to pay attention to. This shouldn't matter. Let's stop talking about this creep, Jeffrey Epstein. This goes further than just Jeffrey Epstein. This goes to our trust in agencies and everything else that's going on in our government. Can we trust the FBI? You know, the FBI went in and pulled all kinds of hours and hours, supposedly thousands of hours of recordings out of his personal information in there, personal stuff that we were told was very incriminating. And of course, we were told that the report, the list was on Pam Bondi's desk, and it's for review, and she's going to be doing that under the directive of the president. Then all of a sudden, we find out there is no list. Oh, maybe there was no desk. Maybe somebody stole her desk that had the list on it. Does she even have an office for to put her desk? We need to look into this stuff. Maybe she doesn't even realize that there's no desk in her office, or maybe she doesn't even have an office. Has she ever been to her office? So apparently that list that she said was on her desk doesn't exist. And I just wonder if maybe she just had an imaginary friend, an imaginary desk, an imaginary office. Everything's imaginary. So the next reporter should ask her, was there actually a desk that those things were on that you said were on? Or just... Yeah. Are you really the attorney general? Is that... This is what gets frustrating, I think, for people, is that when we get this runaround information, even on petty things that we can't change or that really don't matter to our personal everyday lives. However, it matters to some people's lives. We're concerned because there are children involved. There are people in prison for some crimes that were committed that there had to have been other people involved in. They weren't the only ones that were messing with these children. They were providing these children to clients. Who are the clients? Now, maybe there's going to be all kinds of investigations and prosecutions going on, and they can't divulge any information. They got to be very careful. Maybe there's something more behind it, and at some point they will be able to disclose all this. Maybe in year 4 of Trump's presidency, but by that point, he should just say that. He should just come out and say, you know what? Right now the information is very sensitive. We're working through a very complicated case. We can't divulge any information, but the information will be forthcoming. It's much more complicated and goes much deeper than we thought. And we will eventually have this all unraveled and be able to have a presentation for the American people. There's no timeline. There's no date set deadline to get it done. It just needs to be done right, and we're going to go through this as long as it takes. That's what I would rather have heard. Still frustrating, but I would have rather heard that than just, oh, he's just a creep. Are we still talking about that creep? Let's stop talking about that creep. It's not what I wanted to hear. So I shall drink chai. That is iced. And it's very good, by the way. And by the way, my boat is cooling down rather nicely. It's, I don't know what the temperature is inside my boat right now. It's outside, it's about 80 degrees. I would bet it's much less than that in here right now. If I had a way to cover up the windows, it would probably be freezing cold in here. But, fan is definitely, I got a little fan blowing on from across the room here, across the cabin, but it's definitely working, so that's helpful. Got some cold air coming into the, I'm starting to feel it down where my feet are. It's actually quite cool down there, and it's just, cool air goes down, it's going to go down, fill up the bilge, fill up everything here, and it's going to push the hot air out, hopefully, eventually. I got to do something with these windows, though. That's obviously, the sun's just beating right in on them. And that's not making things any cooler. So, So the plan today is to get a couple projects done, a couple messy projects, take a shower, and or possibly just go out and walk on the beach for a little bit. Maybe go out and dip in the water. Maybe, I don't know, dip my toes in there. Maybe take a little jog or a bike ride or something like that if it's not too hot. And come back here, and I will get ready and go. That's what's going to happen here. In the meantime, some other things that are going on in the world. We're hearing a lot of stuff right now. There's still a lot of just derangement, I would call it, out there concerning Trump. People who are just in a fit of rage and anger and hate. I want to talk about hate for just a moment. I see a lot of the people on the left, stop the hate, stop the hate. And you'll hear them talk, and then you realize they're talking about how much they hate. And yet, the ones who are doing the hating, maybe they need to have a little awakening here on what that means, what it means to be a hater, because, it's... they hate anything that they don't agree with. And I think that's where the biggest problem with most of this comes from, is that they are so enraged and so caught up in their own, I would call it self-righteousness. It's the only way I know to talk about it. It is a virtue signaling kind of righteousness that they have, that they just go on with this whole thing of how somehow they feel. And I read this little thing that this lady posted yesterday. It was all about the issue with the school. Oh, and by the way, I want to talk about the camp this camp. I finally found some more research offline, and I was able to not offline, but off the show, and discovered that yes, that actually there is. It's like a $4,400 price to go to this camp. And I thought, wow, it is $4,400 to send your kid to a camp for a week. No, that's not what it is. The tuition is $4,400, and it is an entire month. Now, when you start doing the math on that, I think it's $4,500 or something, like $4,400 something dollars. Now, it is an elite camp. It's for girl. It's a girls' camp. I think the thing that needs to be realized here is it is for an entire month, first of all. When you look at that, that's just over $1,000 a week, basically, to feed, house, and clothe, and, well, not clothe, but take care of and pay for programs and all the stuff that goes along with that, pay for the staff that's, you know, doing everything. Now, again, it's Camp Mystic. They claim to be a Christian camp. I want to say, I would say Christian in name only. I'm not going to get into their theology. There's other people that have done that, and they're talking about what this place is about and things that think more things about it. I'm not going to get into all that. Let me just say, I would never send my daughter there. That would never happen. Regardless of how wonderful of an experience it is or how beautiful the place is. And by the way, it's not cheap to keep something like that up. And you got to have a staff of maintenance people, everything else that's going on there. You got several people there. And to take care of people for an entire month, to feed them alone, let alone the housing and everything else that things cost. Just to put somebody in a hotel for a month is going to cost, you know, close to that. So it's just on top of the food and everything else. So I get it now. That's, you know, I don't think I would pay more than $1,000 for my kid to go to a summer camp for a week. Maybe I would if it was the right kind of camp, if it was worth it. I mean, there's things out there. There are some camps out there that do an awesome job with particular subjects, certain things, and kids come back from those experiences. I know I was a part of a church camp that I saw. It was church camp where kids were getting saved. Now, kids that grew up in church, they were junior high and high school, and they had an experience with God at those camps. There was a moment of heart to heart, face to face meeting with God, kind of thing in their spirits. And it was just, it's priceless. It's a priceless thing. And I would say that the majority of kids who make a decision at those ages probably do so. You know, I think most people out there have an experience with church camp. If they've gone to church camp, they've had an experience where they said it was a significant part of their life. Now, knowing that, oh, good, Siri's helping me out here now. Knowing that, I think I would probably pay about any price there was to send my child to a camp, knowing that, knowing that it could affect their life in a positive way for the rest of their life. Absolutely. But there again, it could also be very detrimental if you get some kind of, you know, bad camp situation or bad, you know, something bad could even happen there. You know, kids do have, it's life-changing in many ways. You're doing a lot of things. You're kind of off on your own. They have their first chance of independence from many of them for an entire week. They grow socially, you know, social structures. There's people that they meet for the first time. A lot of things that happen there, and counselors just simply can't keep kids from getting in trouble, from finding ways to do things that they shouldn't be doing. Stuff does happen. However, by far, I think that there is a good statistic. Statistically, you're going to find that there are good experiences at camp. Now, having said that, no, my child would never go. I wouldn't send my dog to that camp. Actually, speaking of dogs, I miss my dog. He's at daycare today. He's probably doing fine. He's having fun playing. He's a happy-go-lucky little guy. little guy, yeah. Big old dog. But he's a good dog. And good old our other dog, he's just been a good, faithful little dog for almost 14 years now. And yeah, he's doing really well too. Miss him. So we have. What was I talking about? The absolute hatred and the rage that people get into, that blinds them to things so often. And what, here's what gets me about all this. I'm finding more and more, and I'm finding this in my own life. But I'm once you see something, this has the whole thing to do with, you know, when you see a, you know, when you have a plank in your own eye, you can't see the speck in your brother's eye. And I so often, it, you know, you see the speck in your brother's eye, it's like, hey, you know, you got that speck in your eye over there. And of course, they got this big old plank that, you know, in your own eye, this big board in your own eye. I think Jesus was saying, have some introspect, have some. Now, the thing about it, but he didn't say, so don't worry about the speck in your brother's eye. He didn't say that. He said, first, remove the plank in your own eye so you can clearly see to help your brother, you know, remove it. So you're still supposed to be, you were doing a good thing there, but make sure you've got some introspect in your own issues. Have yourself aligned properly and cleared up properly so that you can see clearly beyond what's going on and not just to be shouting. Because you got that plank in your eye, you got that big old 2x4 in your eye there. It's kind of hard to get even close to anybody because, you know, every time you look at them, you're going to smack them with that board. That's kind of what happens there. But it's important, I think, that we have some introspect, that we're able to look at ourselves and examine ourselves and work on removing those things that are causing us to not be able to see. And by the way, once you do that, it becomes very much more clear. I think you can see things much more clearly. And it's when you look at other people, you realize, yeah, you've got that problem. And you have a different perspective. You've been in their shoes. You understand. I'm fully aware and fully understand. Now I fully understand that issue because that's the issue I had to work through and deal with in my own life. And now you have a better perspective. I think it does something to your ability, your character, your ability to be patient, to be kind, to be to relate to that individual rather than just beating them over the head with the truth. You're able to say, hey, here's the path. I've walked this path. Let's walk down this path. I can help you with this. Or look, I was able to do it. You can do it too. This is, you know, if I can do it, you can surely do it. So that kind of thing, I think, is important to have a perspective on. Now, so there you go. That's all I've got to say about that. I think that there's no introspect from the left. And really when it comes down to is most of the reactions. And again, I just want to say one more thing about this on the left right now, what's going on. There is a civil war that they don't even realize. I think that they are falling apart at the seams. They continue to throw things at Trump that, you know, tariffs are going to tear the country apart. We're going to see inflation, rampant inflation. We're going to see all these problems with the economy. Oh, problems are coming. We continue to hear all this stuff from them, and they continue to say that's going to happen, and that this is, oh, his approval rating is going down. His prices, house prices are going to, inflation is about to go up. Oh, all this stuff's going to happen, and it doesn't happen. And now I think the latest jobs report was 2 million jobs created last month, and of course, we're being supposed to be told that it's not happening. Of course, there's some of these companies that lost all their migrant workers, their illegal migrants. All of a sudden, all these people are showing up to work there to apply for jobs because they can now work for regular wages and not have to, you know, just all of a sudden realize that there are people out here that want to work. These aren't just jobs that Americans want to do. So, because, you know, America. Anyway. Folks, thanks for listening. I will be in Peoria, Illinois tomorrow morning, I think. And I'll be broadcasting from there. Once again, God bless. Have a great rest of your day. Take care. Pray for our nation. I will see you tomorrow. See ya. Oh, and by the way, I hardly ever do this, but by the way, if you want to call or text the show, it is 812-379-8778. This is the 1,000th and I think it's the 1,002nd or 1,003rd episode. I was going to have a special wing-ding on the 1,000th episode, but that's coming up. We're going to have a special wing-ding coming up here, probably a live broadcast to celebrate the 1,000th episode of the News According to Me. I'll get back to that later. Anyway, folks, thanks again for being with me. I will talk to you later. Good day.